Maigret and the Reluctant Witnesses.
Inspector Maigret, my name is Legrand, inspector at the Ivry Police Station.
Inspector Legrand, this is Inspector Ducat.
How do you do, Inspector?
How do you? Cold and damp here and pretty derelict. You see there, for example, one of the panes of glass has been replaced by a piece of cardboard.
Mm.
This way, please, the door to the right. As you can see, the walls were once white before the plaster cracked and fell in places. And the first three steps here are real marble. The others are wooden, though.
Looks as though they haven't been swept for a long time.
Yes, it's rather like one of those municipal offices where one almost feels that one has come to the wrong place. It's an enormous house, with doors on all sides, corridors like some official building, and everywhere the same smell of long-settled dust.
There's the chimney I noticed from the outside.
That's where they make the biscuits. The factory is attached to the house.
I came as soon as I got the telephone call.
Here's the body on the bed.
Hmm.
Shot with a 6.35 automatic. We haven't found the weapon.
What about the family? Oh, Luca, go downstairs and wait for our people and the public prosecutor and the juge d'instruction.
Yes, Petrol.
I told the family to go to their own rooms or the drawing room. I thought you...
When did you hear about it?
An hour or so ago. I just got to the office.
Who is he?
Leonard Lachaume, the elder son.
Married?
Widower.
When did it happen?
In the night. According to Dr. Vazan, death took place at about 2 a.m.
Who was in the house?
Well, let me see. The old couple, his father and mother, on the floor above in the left wing. That's two. The little boy.
Hmm? What little boy?
Jean-Paul, the dead man's son. Boy of 12. At the moment, he's at school.
In spite of the tragedy?
Well, apparently no one knew about it at 8 o'clock when he went off to school.
No one heard anything? Who else lives here?
The maid. Her name is Catherine. She sleeps up above, near the old couple and the boy. She looks as old as the house and just as rickety. Then there is Armand, the younger brother.
Mm. Whose brother?
The dead man's.
Mm.
He sleeps on the other side of the hall, so does his wife Paulette.
Six. Six people besides Leonard, who was killed. They were all here last night, and the shot didn't wake one of them?
Well, the walls are very thick. Still, I don't know how to explain. Usually when there's a tragedy like this in a family, you find everyone gathered around the corpse. Some in tears, others explaining. A bit too talkative, if anything. In this case, it took me quite a time to discover that the men weren't alone in the house.
Yes, right through here. Come on. Hey, here, Patron. This way, in here.
Where's the body?
Right here, Dr. Paul. This is Monsieur Angelo, the juge d'instruction.
The young man has a firm, well-manicured hand, the hand of a tennis player, impeccably dressed. Well, the new generation is taking over.
I hope you have no objection, Chief Inspector, if I stay here. I'm only a beginner, you know, and this will be valuable experience for me.
He's completely cold beneath his surface friendliness. He's one of the new school, the school that regards an investigation as the affair of the juge d'instruction from start to finish, with the role of the police reduced to obeying his instructions.
Oh, Luca, you can go through the routine stuff.
Yes.
Ah, here comes Monsieur Armand Lachaume and his wife, Paulette. If you don't mind, I'll leave now. My waiting room was full.
Well, thank you, Monsieur Legrand. Madame and Monsieur Lachaume, this is juge d'instruction Angelo.
Monsieur.
I'm Chief Inspector Maigret. Do you wish to ask any questions, Monsieur le Juge?
I would rather leave it to you.
Please tell me what you know, Madame Lachaume. Do sit down.
Thank you.
You heard nothing in the night?
I always take a sleeping pill before going to bed.
When did you hear that your brother-in-law was dead?
I didn't look at the time.
Where were you?
In my room.
That is your husband's room as well?
No.
But your room is in the hall, nearly opposite your brother-in-law's room?
Yes, there are two rooms on the right of the hall. my husband's and mine.
And how long have you had separate rooms?
I wonder whether you were entitled to ask me these questions concerning our private lives. My brother-in-law was killed last night by a burglar, and so far it's only our movements that seems to be the subject of an inquiry.
I imagine that when Chief Inspector Maigret puts these questions to you, he's regarding you as a witness.
Who had been regarded as head of the family until now, Madame Lechon?
Which family?
Let us say of the group of people living in this house.
That is our business. If this kind of thing goes on, you will be annoying my father and mother-in-law next, and the employees, the staff...
That is my intention.
I do not know your precise rights.
I can tell you what they are.
No, thank you, Monsieur Le Juge. I prefer our lawyer to be present. I suppose I am allowed to send for him.
There is nothing in the regulations to prevent the presence of your lawyer. But I would, anyway, like to point out once again that you and the members of your family are being questioned as witnesses, and that it is usual in such circumstances to call upon...
We shall say nothing further until he is here. Dama, would you be good enough to telephone Maître Adèle, please?
Patron, I have something to tell you.
Come in, Luca. Tell us.
There's a ladder in the courtyard lying on the ground a few meters from the wall. I found the marks of uprights on the windowsill.
Which window?
A window of the landing next to this room. It looks into the courtyard. The ladder must have been leaned up there recently. And the pane of the window has been broken after having been coated with soap.
You knew this, Madame Lachon?
I had noted the fact.
Why did you say nothing to me about it?
I've had no opportunity of doing so.
Where was this ladder usually?
Against the warehouse on the left of the courtyard.
Was it there yesterday evening?
It should have been.
Oh, thank you, Luca. Your husband seems to have been considerably shaken.
It's natural, don't you think?
Were they twins, he and his brother?
There is 7 years difference between them.
And you have no suspicion, no idea of your own?
I told you I would not answer questions except in the presence of my lawyer.
Are there any other brothers or sisters?
I'm Maître Rodel.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Maître. I'm Chief Inspector Maigret. Another young fellow, though not so young as the juge d'instruction. In this house, this survival from another age, I would have expected some old, dirty, pettifogging lawyer.
Gentlemen, I only know what Monsieur Armand Lachaume's offered to tell me on the telephone. And I would like, first of all, to apologize for my client's reactions. Try to put yourself in her place, and you will perhaps understand. I've come here as a friend rather than as a lawyer, and in order to clear up any misunderstanding. Armand Lachaume is a sick man. The death of his brother, who was the life and soul of this house, has been a great shock to him and his wife. And it is not surprising that, in ignorance of police methods, they should be annoyed by certain questions. Since they have asked me to be present at any interrogations you may decide to hold, I will do so. But I must emphasize that my presence is not to be regarded as implying any defensive attitude on the part of the family.
An immense ballroom, plunged in darkness because the shutters are closed. Stuffy, smelling of mildew. Only 2 bulbs out of 12 light up in the chandelier, several of whose festoons of crystal drops are dangling down broken. There's a piano in one corner, an ancient harpsichord in another, and carpets rolled up along the walls. In the middle of the floor are piles of magazines, green cardboard files, biscuit tins. Though there was once music and dancing here, no one has set foot in the room for a long time. And the crimson silk that covers the walls has come unstuck in places. The door stands ajar, opening into a library whose shelves are almost empty except for red-bound school prizes and a few battered volumes. Have the rest been sold? More than likely. The furniture, too, no doubt. But there's none left here except in a third and even damper room. A billiard table whose green felt top is moldering. I suppose the offices are on the other side of the entrance.
F. Zuber, Leather and Hides, David Hirschfeld's successor. I notice the smell here. It stinks, Petron.
The name, by the way, was actually Zubinsky.
Zubinsky.
Zubinsky, why does that name seem familiar?
After the liberation, he was hauled into court a half dozen times. Nothing could ever be proved except that the origin of his fortune is rather sinister. You see that yard, those huts? Mm-hmm. Well, mon garçon, that little parcel of land is worth 30 million francs. And you know who's getting the 30 million? His daughter, Paulette Lachaume. Now back to the Quai des Orfèvres.
Is Angelo going to stay with us throughout?
Yes.
You know, Patron, that amateur burglary job with the soaked window on the second floor is phony. Any burglar would have gone through the downstairs door.
The Lachaumes insist it's a burglary.
I'd take a few francs from Leonard's wallet. The safe in the office would be child's play, and you know that a cat burglar makes his plans beforehand. If he knows there's broken glass on top of a wall, he brings on an old sack or a piece of board. And you find the glass smashed in a particular way. Here it was crushed as though with a hammer.
We'll send every available man to check up. There were barges tied up at the quay. We'll check out the neighborhood, too. Especially, I want to be satisfied about what happened to Paulette's blue Pontiac from 6 o'clock on.
She says she was out?
Yes, from 6 o'clock until 11, when she claimed she said goodnight to Leonard. And I can't account for Leonard from 6 to 9. Furthermore, Paulette insists she didn't take her car.
Well, where does she say she was?
She refuses to answer. And Armand called Maître Radel.
That's unusual. I mean, for a preliminary questioning.
Angelo still believes in the burglary hypothesis, but old Catherine...
Oh, that hunchbacked scarecrow dressed in grimy rags.
Yes, she was Leonard's wet nurse. She gave something away. There's a third child, the youngest, a daughter named Véronique, who must be in her mid-30s and lives in Paris.
We'll find her. What I wonder, Patron, is how does that biscuit factory stay in business?
We had a long talk with the bookkeeper, of course with Messer Radel present, and it turns out that more often than not, they can't even meet the payroll on time.
And Madame Armand Lachaume came into at least 30 million francs.
And Maître Radel specializes in divorce.
Here you are, Patron.
You go back to the Quai de la Gare. I'll send all the men I can spare, and you report to me the minute you get something.
Yes, Patron.
Maigret.
We're in luck, Patron.
Well, what did you find out?
First, a red Panhard was parked for a half hour not far from the Lachaume house. At around 6 o'clock, Paulette Lachaume got into it.
Who saw it?
The woman who runs a small grocery store at the corner. She also saw the driver who got out of the car and smoked a cigarette. She has a good description.
What else?
She also noticed Leonard Lachaume driving Paulette's blue Pontiac back at 9. And we found two bargemen from a Belgian barge who saw and heard someone on a ladder smashing the glass on top of the wall. Since it was done from the inside, they didn't pay any attention. They're positive it was done before 10:30.
Good work. Get all the details and have the witnesses sign a statement. I'm going to see Véronique Lachaume on the Rue François Premier, number 17B.
Aren't you...
Chief Inspector Maigret, Mademoiselle Lachaume.
I was sure I'd seen your face somewhere. I thought at first it was in the movies, but it was in the papers. Oh, come in.
I'm surprised. Véronique Lachaume is buxom, even fat, but she's wearing a dainty housecoat. Not a managed suit, as I was told. And the room she leads me into is more like a boudoir than a living room. Everything is white, satin-covered furniture, except for a touch of blue provided by some pieces of china and the old rose color of the thick piled carpet.
What are you surprised about? Oh, take off your coat and give it to me. I didn't expect the police to be here so quickly.
Instead of making her plain, her plumpness renders her attractive, very likable. I suspect that a lot of men must find her desirable.
You may smoke your pipe, Chief Inspector.
Thank you.
What surprises me is that the family should have told you about me. You must have bombarded them with questions to induce them to do so, because, well, they look on me as the black sheep, and I imagine my name is taboo in the house.
Do you know what happened last night?
Oh, I only know what I've just read in the paper. What surprises me most is that the burglar even bothered. Either he was drunk or he hadn't seen the house by daylight.
You believe in the burglary?
The newspaper. Isn't that true?
I'm not sure. Your family isn't talkative.
I can remember when they'd spend whole evenings without opening their mouths a dozen times. What's my sister-in-law like?
Rather pretty.
Is it true that she's very rich?
Very.
Hmm. I read what the papers said about her at the time of the wedding. I saw some pictures. I felt sorry for the poor girl. And then I began to wonder. If she'd been ugly, it would have been easier. Perhaps it was her father. To some people, especially at Ivry, the name of Lachaume still sounds impressive. Those Zubers, father and daughter, jumped into the upper middle class at one leap. I suspect she's paying a high price for it.
You haven't seen any member of your family again recently?
Not one.
You've never been back there?
Oh, I'd go out of my way not to set eyes on that house. Although my father is probably a good man. It isn't his fault that he was born a Lachaume, and it's turned him into what he is now.
What about Leonard?
Oh, Leonard was much more of a Lachaume than father.
Did you know your first sister-in-law?
No. In my time, my brother, in spite of his efforts, hadn't found an heiress for himself. I was to be the first to sacrifice myself.
Where were you last night?
Oh, I was behind the bar at the Amazon. I take it you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's probably why you seemed astonished to find me in the kind of get-up the magazines call frothy. The Amazon is my work. Black velvet dinner jacket and monocle. Here I'm me. When I'm at home, I tend to exaggerate in the opposite direction.
Mm. You even had a lover?
I've had lots. At the age of 16, I was the mistress of my drawing teacher. I had no choice. He was the only man who taught at my school.
It's never happened that one of your brothers or your sister-in-law turned up at the Amazon?
Oh, I don't actually know my sister-in-law, Paulette. One evening, I had the impression I recognized her at one of the tables, but it was only a vague impression. What struck me was the way that woman stared at me, with a curiosity that's difficult to account for.
When did this happen?
6 weeks ago. 2 months, perhaps. My friend will be here any minute.
Yeah. It's a serious affair this time, isn't it?
Well, Chief Inspector, just imagine. At the age of 34, I've fallen in love, and I've half a mind to throw up everything and get married. Well, I enjoy housekeeping, shopping, going to the butcher's. I like staying at home and cooking tasty things. As a matter of fact, he'll be here soon for dinner, and will you excuse me while I set the table?
I'd like you to give me his name and address.
Do you need him?
It's unlikely.
Jacques Saint-Val, 23 Rue de Ponthieu. Oh, Jacques Saint-Val isn't his real name. He's actually Arthur Baquette, but that's too ordinary sounding for an advertising man. So he adopted a pseudonym.
Thank you very much.
Ah, oh, that must be Jaco.
May I have a few words with him?
Of course. If you don't mind, we'll be having our meal.
Oh, it won't take long. Have you a telephone?
In my bedroom, through that door.
Thank you. Maigret here. Put me through to Luca.
Yes, Patron.
Anything new?
The Juge d'Instruction just called for the third time since you left. He's surprised at getting no news from you.
Go on.
He asked me a whole lot of questions.
What about?
Where the inspectors were, what they're doing, what they found out.
Did you tell him?
No. I pretended I didn't know anything. He wasn't pleased.
Is there any news?
No.
Now take one of the cars and go to Ivry. To the small grocery you told me about. You said a woman runs it. Be nice to her, very polite, and tell her we need her for a short time.
Right.
She'll want to dress up in her best, but try not to let her take too long about it. And bring her to the Rue François Premier, number 17B. You'd most like to see a red car parked outside. Pull up as close to it as you can, and come with her to the fifth floor. Look for the nameplate inscribed Véronique Lachaume.
Right, Patron.
Jaco, this is Chief Inspector Maigret, who'd like to talk to you.
Delighted to meet you.
Oh, please sit down. Go ahead with your dinner.
Oh, I was just going to take away the soup.
Well, pay no attention to me. I only want to ask you one or two questions, Monsieur Saint-Val. Wasn't your car parked opposite the Pont National yesterday evening, about 6 o'clock?
The Pont National?
It's the last bridge before Ivry, a railway bridge.
I don't see... wait a minute. Yesterday afternoon?
About 6 o'clock.
No, definitely not.
You don't know Paulette, of course?
Paulette who?
My sister-in-law.
Yes, I vaguely remember your speaking of her.
Do you know her?
By name.
You know she lives on the Quai de la Gare?
Oh, no, you mention it. Her address has slipped my memory.
Mm. Oh, that's for me. I'll open the door.
I was as quick as I could manage.
Come in, madame. It was you, I believe, who noticed a red car yesterday evening parked outside your premises?
Yes, monsieur.
Come this way, please.
What am I supposed to do?
Do you recognize anyone here?
Indeed, I do.
Who?
The gentleman who's eating. I already recognized the red car out in the street. There's a dent in the right fender.
All right.
What's all right?
I was there.
Well, thank you, madame. You can drive her home now, Luca. I believe you have a signed statement from her?
Yes, Patron, it's on your desk with the others. Mm.
I wonder if you two would mind discussing your business somewhere else than in my kitchen, in the living room, if you like.
Come along, Monsieur Saint-Val. Sit down.
May I smoke?
By all means.
Do you realize what you've just done?
What about you?
I can tell you right away that you're mistaken.
Some women doubtless find him handsome, but seen at close quarters, especially just now, he looks the worse for wear. Without the air of assurance that he usually assumes, one can feel he is weak and hesitant.
I've read the papers, and I can guess what you're thinking.
I'm not thinking anything as yet.
Then why did you bring up that woman, whom I don't know?
To make you admit that you were at the Quai de la Gare yesterday.
What does that prove?
Nothing, except that you know Paulette Lachaume.
Oh, so what? I know hundreds of women, and I've never heard that that's a crime.
I imagine you've never told Véronique about your goings-on with Paulette Lachaume. How long have you known her?
Oh, it's all my fault, Monsieur Maigret. Now I know. I've been nothing but an idiot. And I ought to have known where it would land me. Just now I gave you the answer to your question without realizing it. You remember that about 6 weeks or 2 months ago I thought I recognized my sister-in-law in the nightclub?
Mm-hmm.
Jacques came to call for me that night, as he often does. I don't know why I mentioned it to him, because I've never told him anything about my family. I don't remember exactly how it came up. I think I said my brother would be very surprised if he knew the kind of places his wife goes to. Jacques asked what my brother did, and I said, "Have you never heard of Lachaume's biscuits?" I added, "His wife's worth at least 20 million, perhaps more." Now, do you understand?
Were the two of you already thinking of getting married?
We'd been considering it more or less seriously for several weeks.
And you went on considering it?
I assumed it was settled once and for all.
I've never changed my mind.
Then why did you get yourself acquainted with my sister-in-law?
Oh, out of curiosity, with no special purpose. To begin with, she's married, so...
So what?
So, well, it wasn't in my interest to...
Excuse me, I'd like to put a few more precise questions of my own. Tell me, Monsieur Saint-Val, when did you first meet Paulette Lachaume?
You want the exact date?
As near as you can manage.
It was a Thursday about 4 weeks ago, in a tea room on the Rue Royale.
So now you go in for tea rooms.
You had followed her, probably since she left home. For how many days had you been watching her?
Oh, that was the second day.
In other words, you'd been on the watch in the afternoon with your car on the Quai de la Gare. Paulette drove out, probably in her blue Pontiac, and you followed her.
She left the car in the Place Vendôme and went shopping in the Rue Saint-Honoré.
In the tea room you spoke to her?
Yes.
Did she seem surprised?
Very.
When did you take her to your apartment?
I didn't take her home.
Oh, to a hotel?
No. A friend lent me his apartment.
Oh, you understand, Monsieur Maigret? The Rue de Ponthieu was good enough for me, but for a woman worth several million francs, he had to find somewhere more glamorous. Where was it, Jacques?
It belongs to an Englishman you don't know on the Ile Saint-Louis.
What happened yesterday evening?
Nothing in particular.
What did you talk about?
Do you suppose they spent much time talking?
I didn't kill her brother-in-law. Anyhow, I had no reason to kill him. Neither had she.
Have you ever seen Léonard Lachaume?
Once. When I was waiting on the quay, I saw him come out of the house.
Did he see you, too?
Yes. No.
Where did you and Paulette have dinner yesterday?
In a restaurant in the Palais Royal. You can verify that we had a table on the mezzanine.
Afterwards, you went to the apartment on the Ile Saint-Louis?
Yes.
You drove Paulette home?
No. She insisted on taking a taxi.
Why?
Because a red car is more noticeable at night when the quay is deserted.
She was very much afraid of being seen with you?
Oh, I suppose so. But it's fairly natural.
Oh, listen, both of you. There's no point in this cat-and-mouse game. Although he's often at Fouquet's, Maxime's, and other swanky places, Jacques has always been hard up. When he met me, he said to himself that a woman of my age, who's worked all her life, must have some money tucked away. And I was misguided enough to bring him here and tell him I'd just bought the apartment. It's true, this place is my own. I'm even about to build myself a little house on the banks of the Marne. I wasn't asking for anything of the kind, but he began talking marriage. Only then I had the idiotic idea of telling him all about my sister-in-law and her millions.
I have never taken money from women.
That's just what I'm saying. It wasn't worthwhile to get a little money from her now and then, whereas by marrying
her... She's married.
What's divorce for, then? Admit you discussed it together.
Oh, I didn't take her seriously. I was just curious.
So she was thinking of divorce. Ah, and it was so that the decree wouldn't go against her that she was anxious not to be caught. Jacot, I'd be glad if you'd take your dressing gown and slippers away and send me back my things. It's almost time for me to go to work, and I must get into uniform. The ladies are expecting me. Oh, clear out, both of you. It's high time I got dressed.
My dressing gown and slippers...
I'll send them to you all right. Don't worry. No one else will use them.
Do you realize what you've done?
What about you? Every evening for years, Jean-Paul already in bed, the others, except Paulette, are all thinking about the same thing. Léonard will have to do the talking because he's the eldest and because Armand doesn't dare. Talking means asking Zuber's daughter for money. The firm of Lachaume is on the verge of collapse. It is the oldest biscuit factory in Paris, an important institution. Somebody has a whole heap of money. Dirty money, so dirty that old Zuber was only too glad to give his daughter to a Lachaume so she will have a respectable position in the world. The Shams must have lied from the start, making out that given a few hundred thousand francs, the business would become prosperous once more. The house, comfortable and cheerful. The setting for dinner parties and receptions like any other big middle-class house. Paulette believed them, then ceased to do so.
Patron, the juge d'instruction wants you to call him. And here's the layout of the house. And this list is the inventory of Léonard's bedroom.
Mm. I'm sure everything's mentioned. The number of handkerchiefs, the condition of the comb, the hairbrush and the clothes brush, with sketches showing the position of each item. What else is there?
A black marble bronze clock, no longer in working order. 2 3-branched marble and bronze candlesticks. A wicker waste paper basket containing a crumpled newspaper. A 10-inch adjustable wrench of the type used by plumbers.
Mm. What else?
Well, the bed is described precisely. One of the sheets, of fine linen and in excellent condition, is embroidered with the letter P, 4 centimeters in height.
Wait a minute. Get me Maître Radel. Hello, Maigret here. I'd like you to ask your clients 2 questions, which will save my going to the Quai de la Gare and taking you there. Hello, are you there? The first is about a wrench. 10-inch wrench. It's in Léonard Lachaume's room. I'd like to know why it was there. Another thing, how many sheets in the house? Yes, I'm sorry. I know it's a very down-to-earth subject. Ask whether all the sheets are embroidered with the letter P, and if not, who were the embroidered ones used for? Yes, that's all. Thank you, Metz. Maigret.
You had my messages?
Certainly. I've read them very carefully.
I should like to see you as soon as possible.
I know. I'm just waiting for 1 telephone call in a few minutes, I hope, before coming to your office. Okay. Maigret.
Radel.
Oh, you've been quick, Maître Radel.
Was upset by a smell of gas in his room. They don't use gas anymore except in the kitchen, but in the old days, the bedrooms were lit by gas, and the system is still there. All that was done was to block the pipes with bolts. So Lennar got a wrench from the workshop. He forgot to take it back, and it's been in a corner of his room ever since.
What about the sheets?
I couldn't get an exact list because there are some at the laundry. There are several different marks. The 24 better quality sheets coming from Paulette Lachaume are marked with a P.
I suppose the idea was that only she used those?
I didn't venture to press that point. I was just told those were her own sheets.
Thank you.
Might I ask...
Nothing, Maître. I know nothing as yet. Excuse me. Au revoir. Luca, hold the fort. Yes, I'm going to see Juge d'Instruction, Angelo.
Sit down, Chief Inspector.
Thank you.
I was rather surprised yesterday to have no news from you right through the afternoon and evening. Have you been back to the Quai de la Gare?
I myself, no.
So you have not seen any members of the family or staff again?
No.
I take it that you and your subordinates have been attending to this case all the same? I keep coming back to the idea of a burglary. What do you think?
About a burglary?
Yes.
Do you know how many burglaries there have been in Paris in the last 10 years, at night, in private homes or apartments, while the occupants were at home? 32. Just over 3 per year. They were never armed, of course.
Why do you say, of course?
Because the professional burglar never is armed.
But nearly every week...
Yes, nearly every week you see in the papers that someone's been killed. But those aren't really burglaries. Crimes like that are committed by young thugs who are simple-minded, often even half-witted. I also wanted to find out how many real burglaries in the last 10 years were accompanied or followed by murder. 3, monsieur. One burglar used a monkey wrench he had in his pocket. Second picked up a poker, which he used when he was taken by surprise and threatened. The third did have a firearm, a Luger he'd brought back from the war. Only one. And that was not a 6.35 automatic. I don't think you'd find in the whole of Paris a single professional burglar or criminal using one of those weapons. They're what honest citizens keep in the drawer of the bedside table and jealous women carry in their purses.
If I understand correctly, you rule out the hypothesis of a burglary.
I do.
Even by an employee or former employee, for instance?
During the evening, a Belgian bargeman, whom my men managed to trace, saw somebody propped on a ladder inside the yard, smashing the broken glass on top of the wall, 4 hours before the crime.
If that is correct, what do you infer from it?
Nothing, so far. You ask me to keep you informed.
Yes, have you made any other discoveries?
Paulette Lachaume has a lover.
Oh, she told you so? I thought...
Oh, I haven't seen her. She's told me nothing. It was her sister-in-law who unintentionally put me on the track.
What sister-in-law?
Véronique Lachaume.
Hmm. Where did you find her?
In her apartment, in the Rue François Premier. She works as a hostess in a nightclub of a rather specialized type. The Amazon, in the Rue Marbeuf. Her lover, whom she was expecting to marry in the near future, is also Paulette's lover.
Ah. Did he admit it?
Yes.
What kind of man is he?
The kind you see a great many of around the Champs-Élysées. He's in advertising, owes money in all the bars. To begin with, he thought he'd marry Véronique, who owns her apartment and has some savings. When he heard about her sister-in-law and her millions, he arranged to meet her, became her lover.
You kept him at the Quai des Orfèvres?
I didn't take him there.
Where does that get us?
I don't know. Murr's men found a 10-inch wrench in Léonard Lachaume's room.
The murderer used a revolver.
I know.
What other information have you?
Well, one can't really call it information. For instance, I've just obtained a list of the sheets used in the house.
The sheets?
Only one sheet in Léonard's room is bloodstained. But it's embroidered with a P and belongs to Paulette.
Is that all?
The day before yesterday, Paulette left the house on foot in the rain at about 6 o'clock to meet her lover, who was waiting for her in a red car a little way along the quay in front of a grocery. At about the same time, Léonard Lachaume went out driving her blue Pontiac. The couple went to a quiet restaurant in the Palais Royal, Chez Marcel. Léonard is said to have arrived home at 9 o'clock. An hour later,
Someone from inside the yard was crushing the broken glass along the top of the wall with some heavy object, probably a hammer. Paulette, after a visit to the apartment on the Ile Saint-Louis with her lover, went home by taxi.
Why not in her lover's car?
Because at night she was afraid of being noticed.
She told you that?
Her lover told me. In the hall, she exchanged greetings with Leonard, who was in his dressing gown.
What are you thinking about?
I don't know yet. I shall have to check.
In conclusion...
I've come to no conclusion, Monsieur le Juge.
If, as you seem to say, it was a member of the family...
Of the family or the household.
Meaning you include the old hunchbacked servant among the suspects?
Well, don't rule out anyone. I'm not going to quote you any more statistics. 3 months ago, a man killed his neighbor with a 6.35 automatic, by the way, because the neighbor persisted in playing his radio at full volume.
I don't see the connection.
At first, it seemed an idiotic, inexplicable crime. But the murderer is a completely disabled ex-serviceman who's been trepanned twice and spends his days in pain in an armchair.
I still don't see
what at first appears to be a ridiculous motive, a little music more or less, becomes for the disabled man, when you come to think it over, a vital question. In other words, in the circumstances, the crime was explicable, almost inevitable.
I can't see any similar situations at the Quai de la Gare.
Yet there must be something. Just now, while talking to you, I had an idea. If you'll allow me to make a phone call. It's Maigret here. Get me the lab, please. Hello, Meurs. Maigret. Yeah, I had the report, yes. It isn't about that I want to talk to you. It's about the inventory. You have the original list there? See if there's no mention of a dressing gown. A man's, that's it. No dressing gown? Thanks. Perhaps at the stage we've reached, an interrogation might produce some results.
An interrogation of whom?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I think Paulette Lachaume would be the best person to interrogate.
Have you any specific questions to ask her?
Some. Others will develop out of her replies.
Do you want me to inform her lawyer?
I called him this morning.
About this interrogation?
No, to ask him for 2 pieces of information that I've just given to you. To avoid disturbing the Lachaume family, I decided to apply for it through him.
Hello. Get me Maître Radel, please. André Radel, that's it. Hello? André, I have Chief Inspector Maigret in my office. The investigation has reached a point at which certain interrogations seem to be necessary. Yes, of course, in my office. No, I don't intend to disturb the old parents. Nor him, for the moment at any rate. What? What does the doctor say? Oh. Paulette Lachaume, yes. This morning? Very well. We went through law school together. He tells me Armand Lachaume is in bed. He had a rather serious epileptic attack yesterday evening.
Hmm. And Paulette?
He hopes to bring her at 11:30. It would be more in order at the present stage for me to put the questions while you intervene only if it becomes necessary. I take it you see no objection to that.
Just as you wish.
On the other hand, it's only natural, I think, for you to give me, in writing, before she arrives, the points on which you think I should lay emphasis. Just a few words on a piece of paper, quite unofficially.
Of course.
Have you any information about Leonard Lachaume's late wife?
She served the same function as Zuber's daughter.
That being?
To keep the house on the quay and the biscuit factory alive, if one can call it alive, for a time. Her dowry was used to stop the leaks.
And the money she left?
She didn't leave anything, because her father is still alive and may last a long time.
Hello? Yes? What did she say? How long do you think that will take? About 11:30. Right. Oh, no, it'll be in my office. It'll all be done in the proper way. Yes, thanks, Andre.
I'll be here a little before 11:30.
Don't forget to note down the questions.
Oh, I'll think about them.
Everything changes. It's like children growing up. You don't notice it while it's happening, only when it's happened. My intimate enemy, the juge d'instruction Pomelio, has retired now, become just an old gentleman, taking his dog for its morning walk arm in arm with a lady whose hair has dyed mauve. It began by finding around me and later under my orders inspectors who had never been on traffic duty or taken their turn at the railway stations that came from colleges.
Hello. Were you just behind us?
I came by the side door, Mr. Radel. How do you do, Madame Lachon?
Chief Inspector?
I must apologize, madame, for bringing you here.
I understand.
Please sit down. You too, Maître Radel? Maître Radel, some of my questions may seem curious to you as well as to your client, but I think she owes it to herself to answer them frankly, even those that concern her private life. Now, the first question concerns you too, Maître, but I particularly wish the reply to come from Madame Lachaume. On what date, madame, did you feel the need to consult a lawyer?
Must I answer?
It will be better if you do.
3 weeks ago.
Had you a particular reason 3 weeks ago not to turn to your father's lawyer? That is, to Maître Tobias, but to another member of the bar?
Yes, I think so.
You mean you had a reason for changing your lawyer?
Yes.
Wasn't it that you wished for the help of a specialist? By specialist, I mean a lawyer well known for his success in a particular field.
Perhaps.
And was it not, in fact, about the prospect of a divorce that you went to consult Maître Radel?
Yes.
Did your husband know of this at the time?
I had said nothing to him about it.
The plans for the divorce were ready.
Yes.
Have you made a will?
No.
According to a marriage settlement, the fortune goes to the surviving partner of the marriage.
Yes.
How long have you been frightened?
I don't know. A few days.
Frightened of what?
I don't see what you're getting at. Why are you questioning me and not them?
Your decision to get a divorce was final?
Yes.
Nothing the Lachaumes might say would induce you to stay?
No. I've sacrificed myself long enough.
Did you love your husband?
I thought so. Right at the beginning.
You never had sexual relations with your brother-in-law? Did he never try?
Once, a long time ago.
A year, 2 years, 3 years after your marriage?
A year after, when Armand and I moved into separate rooms.
You rejected Leonard's advances?
Yes.
Who uses the sheets embroidered with your initials?
I do, of course.
And no one else?
I don't think so. Possibly my husband occasionally.
Not your brother-in-law? Not your brother-in-law?
Not ordinarily.
There are enough other sheets in the house for all the family's beds?
I suppose so.
Did you tell Jacques Saint-Val you were afraid?
He wanted me to leave the Quai de la Gare at once.
Didn't Saint-Val warn you to be careful, especially after noting that your brother-in-law was following you?
How do you know that?
When did he follow you?
The day before yesterday.
Not before that?
I'm not sure. Last Thursday, I thought I caught sight of him on the Quai de Bourbon.
You were in Saint-Val's friend's apartment. It was then Saint-Val gave you a revolver.
Monsieur le Juge, at the point we have now reached, I ask your permission to have a short talk with my client.
On condition that it is really short, you may use this room. Let's step out, Chief Inspector.
Very well.
Do you still consider, Monsieur Maigret, that it is not possible to obtain the same results quietly, without shouting, without theatrical effects, in any juge d'instruction's office, as at the Quai des Orfèvres?
What's the use of answering that all he did was reel off the questions I prepared for him?
I beg your pardon, I didn't catch...
There's nothing of importance, Monsieur le Juge.
If things happened, as I am beginning to believe that they did, Radel will advise her to speak up. It's in her own interest. He should have insisted on it from the first. Unless she hasn't even told him the truth.
Supposing she hadn't replied to my questions or was a good liar, where would we be now?
Wait, look over there. Armand Lachaume. We'd better go back in before he sees us.
Yes, quick. I apologize. Unforeseen circumstances obliged me to interrupt. Hello? Yes, it's for you, Chief Inspector.
Maigret here. Two people saw the car. Good. The description fits? Thank you. No, see you later. Leonard Lachaume was outside the restaurant in the Palais Royal the night before last.
It was Leonard who frightened me most, for it was he who kept the firm going at all costs. Once, a long time ago, when I didn't want to give him an amount that was bigger than usual, he made a speech comparing big business firms to old aristocratic families. We have no right, he said, looking very stern, to let a firm like ours go out of business. I'd do anything on earth rather than let that happen. Oh, I remembered that just lately. I almost walked out of the house at once without a word to stay at a hotel until the divorce had gone through.
What prevented you?
I don't know. It's difficult to explain. You'd need to have lived in that house for years in order to understand. Armand is a weakling, a sick man, the mere shadow of his brother. And I'd grown fond of Jean-Paul. At the beginning, I'd hoped I'd have children. They hoped so, too. They were always watching for signs of pregnancy. They were terribly disappointed when nothing happened. I wonder if that isn't why Leonard... It's true. Jacques gave me a revolver. I didn't want to take it. I was afraid it would be found. At night, I used to put it on my bedside table, and in the daytime, I kept it in my purse.
Where is it now?
I don't know what they did with it. Everything was so confused and so crazy after...
Tell us what happened before.
I got in about midnight, 11:30, perhaps. I didn't notice the time. I decided that this was to be the last night but one. I jumped when I saw Leonard's door opening. He watched me go into my room without a word, without even saying good night. And that scared me. On my way to the bathroom after I'd undressed, I saw light under his door. I was even more frightened. It may have been a presentiment. I felt inclined not to get into bed, to sit in an armchair and wait in the dark until daybreak. In the end, I lay down with the gun within reach, determined not to fall asleep. I kept my eyes open, listening to the sounds in the house.
You heard him coming.
More than an hour went by. I think I dozed off for a moment. Then I heard boards creak in the hall. I sat up in bed.
Your door was not locked.
There's no key. I had the impression that someone was turning the handle. Then I crept carefully out of bed and flattened myself against the wall, a meter away.
Was there a light in the hall?
No. Someone came in. I couldn't see anything. I was afraid to shoot too soon because I was certain that if I missed... I could hear someone's breath coming closer. Her body nearly touched me. I'm positive an arm was raised to strike at the place on the bed where my head ought to have been. Then, without realizing it, I pressed the trigger.
Will you allow me, Monsieur le Juge? Who turned on the lights?
I didn't. At least I don't remember doing so. I rushed into the hall without knowing where I was going. I'd probably have run into the street in my nightdress.
Who did you run into?
My husband. I suppose it was he who turned the lights on.
He was fully dressed?
Yes. That hadn't occurred to me.
Mm. What happened?
I must have screamed. Anyhow, I remember opening my mouth to do so, then I fainted. It wasn't until later that the nightmare began. My father-in-law had come down, so had Catherine. It was her voice one heard most. I could hear her in the distance, ordering Jean-Paul back to his room. I saw Armand coming out of my room with a big wrench.
Well, the wrench Leonard had tried to hit you with?
I suppose so. They ordered me to be quiet, to stop moaning.
Who were they?
My father-in-law, that old witch, Catherine. She most of all. It was she who washed the floor and helped Armand to carry the body. It was she who noticed that there was blood on my sheet because Leonard had fallen across the turned-down bed.
Did they seem astonished at what had happened?
I wouldn't say that. Distressed, but not astonished. It seemed to be me they were angry with.
It was then that they got busy with the ladder and the window pane.
No.
Remember, Monsieur le Juge, that about 10 o'clock, someone, most probably Léonard, had been seen smashing the broken glass on the wall. At about the same time, no doubt, somebody attended to the ladder, the marks on the windowsill, the window pane smeared with soap.
I suppose so.
As you see, gentlemen, my client...
Just a moment, sir. Who asked you to say nothing and allow the idea of a burglary to be put forward?
No one in particular.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, it's easy to see you didn't live through that night. I ended by not knowing what was true and what wasn't. For instance, I seem to remember, without being sure it really happened, Catherine's voice croaking, "The windows!" Because at first they turned on all the lights. Well, there are no shutters to the windows, only curtains that don't quite meet in the middle. She had all the lights put out. It was she, too, who found a flashlight in the kitchen. And she came back with a pail. "You'd do better to get back to bed, Monsieur Armand. You too, Monsieur Felix." But they both stayed there. Another time, I asked for some brandy, but they wouldn't give it to me, saying I mustn't have a drunkard's breath in the morning.
What happened in the morning? Did they tell Jean-Paul?
No, they told him his uncle had had an attack. When he maintained that he'd heard a shot, everyone assured him that it must have been the noise of a train or a car on the quay that he'd heard in his sleep. As soon as he'd gone to school, there was a kind of rehearsal.
Just a minute. Quiet. I think someone's listening at the door. Madame Lachaume, I think your husband is dead. There beside him lies the 6.35 automatic. I take it you don't need me anymore, Monsieur le Juge.
Maigret and the Reluctant Witnesses by Frederick Spurley. Produced from our Toronto studios by Peter Donkin. Bud Knapp starred as the Chief Inspector. The other players, John Bethune, Mignon Elkins, Joyce Gordon, John Granick, David Harris, Tom Harvey, and Frank Perry. Musical signature by Lucio Agostini. Sound effects, Matt Wilcott. The program was recorded by Derek Stubbs. Jan Tennant speaking.